Hour number two of 3D on this Monday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Three more hours to go. Been a busy first hour, as you can imagine. Mary Kay Cabot. Willie, when I say that name, what do you think? Who's Mary Kay Cabot?
Mary Kay Cabot is a longtime NFL writer based out of Cleveland.
Exactly. Yeah. We've talked to her many times over the years. Listen to her tweet. Fired Titans. She just tweeted this out a little bit ago. Fired Titans coach Mike Mularkey is on the Browns radar for what opening? Fill in the blank.
Offensive coordinator?
Offensive coordinator. He's on the Browns radar to be their next OC. Interesting.
I think Mike Mularkey will get a job. And I think a lot of guys on that staff will get a job. They've done a good job. There's nothing.
Of course they'll get
nothing
jobs.
That they can.
I don't think he'll ever be a head coach.
They don't have
again.
To be ashamed at all about what they've done.
Of course not. Go back to back 9-7 seasons for a franchise that won what, 5 games in 2 seasons? Cameron Wolf covers the Titans for ESPN.com. Cameron, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. At Cameron Wolf on Twitter, give him a follow. So this is not what we all thought we were going to be waking up to. What changed? What changed overnight from yesterday's press conference, players cleaning out their lockers, to this morning, Mike Mularkey and the Titans have mutually agreed to part ways?
Yeah, from what I understand, they were starting to talk contract extension, which we were talking about yesterday. Potentially having Mike for a few more years. But I think as they started to talk about what this organization would look like going forward, what was the plan, what would the assistance look like, what was the next step to get to a championship contender, there were differences in how Mike was presenting it versus how Titans GM General John Robinson wanted to get to that next level. And I think a lot of it had to do with continuity in status quo, which was sort of the vibe we got from Mike Mularkey in his closing press conference, to a desire for change from the Titans front office. So that became a big sticking point, and it was time to move on.
I brought up last hour, everybody's focusing in on Josh McDaniels. The problem is the Colts and the Giants are focusing in on him too, and they've already talked to him. They've already interviewed him. The Titans haven't had that luxury because they've been playing until now. So they haven't had a chance to interview him. They're going to have to go through certain interview process because of league rules. What if Josh McDaniels chooses somebody else? I think everybody thinks he is going to be a head coach. So he's going to get hired when the Patriots season is over, and he's going to be coaching somewhere as their head coach. What if it's not here? What's plan B, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I definitely know that Josh McDaniels is their favorite, at least John Robinson's favorite. And, this is a real possibility that he could go elsewhere. I will say that this is the most appealing job for him, and it's believed to be a job that he, would want. So it may come down to monetary value or what he sees as more appealing. And I think with the uncertainty with Andrew Luck's shoulder and the quarterback situation in New York, I think Tennessee would seem to be the obvious choice. But like I said, there are many factors to get there. You've mentioned that they've interviewed with those teams and not with Tennessee yet. I think that, this may be a situation where they have to wait out the Patriots run because there can't be an official hire until their season's over anyway. So they make it to the Super Bowl. This may be a deal that doesn't end until, second week, third week of February. But plan B beyond McDaniels, you've got to look at someone who is a very different mind than Mike Mularkey. So you have to look at someone who can rebuild and shape around Marcus Mariota and maximize his skill sets. A guy like that would interest me would be two of the guys in Philly, whether it's quarterback coach John Delafippo or Frank Reich out there, their offensive coordinator. And then Pat Shurmur is doing a great job with the Vikings as well. So those are the three names that would come to mind for me outside of that realm. It looks like Matt Patricia is going to take that Lions job. So I think it's a big, heavy push towards McDaniels, but they've got to have plan B, and they've got to be careful because there's got to be a true search, and they've got to abide by the Rooney Rule and interview a African American candidate. We saw sort of how that blew over with the Raiders, so it will be interesting to see how this next few weeks will go.
We all feel like this was Mike Munchak all over again. It kind of played out the same way, especially since we were here covering that when that all happened. It feels the same exact way. But how much of this really is about they had crossed a line, the relationship between Mularkey and Robinson, that just to me, other than pulling off the upset of upsets, and that's going into New England and beating the Patriots, and us sitting here talking about an AFC championship game with them against Jacksonville, how much of this not, you know, once shots were fired, which is what he did after the Kansas City game, has played a factor in this? Because it's very clear, Mike Mularkey, and most would say, at least I'll say, probably for good reason. I understand why he wasn't happy because of the job that he's done, and for 3 weeks he had to hear that his job was in jeopardy. He wasn't happy about that, and they win a playoff game, and he took direct shots at the front office. How much of that still lingered and played a factor in this?
I'm sure it definitely did. You could see the tension between you couldn't see it, but there was tension between Mularkey and John Robinson, because remember, this isn't a guy that he brought in. You know, John Robinson was sort of brought in with the agreement that he would keep Mularkey as head coach. So as a general manager, you always want to have your guy. And when you don't have your guy and things are not going well, there's always looking outward. So I think Mularkey didn't feel security, and probably rightfully so. As we see, there wasn't a ton of security for him. And, you know, him calling him out, it was very risky at the time. I thought it was commendable for him expressing how he felt. But I do think it brought a situation for him that it was going to make it very tenuous for him and John Robinson to work together going forward, particularly if they didn't align in ideas. And it was clear that they didn't align on how to bring the Titans to that next step.
Cameron, do you think only time will tell, because it's always a gamble when you change coaches after a relative amount of success. We pointed out earlier in the show, we saw the stat, this is the first time a team has replaced a head coach after winning a playoff game since 2002, and that's going back a ways, Steve Mariucci. But Mike Mularkey still can walk away saying, hey, I did a lot of good things here, as well as the rest of his staff. So that may not be a bad thing, rather than be sort of the scapegoat if anything were to go wrong next year.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think everybody that looks at this team and says, oh, this team should be a championship contender if they get a new coach in. But we've got to remember that it's not that easy. First of all, it's not that easy to win a playoff game, be in the final eight. But it's also not that easy to assume that it will get turned around that easily. It wasn't too long ago that we had a Mike Munchak, Ken Whisenhunt situation where he was, you know, he parted ways with the organization, and everybody thought that, you know, it would go upward, and it went completely down with Ken Whisenhunt. So there's no savior in all of this. I know Josh McDaniels is the favorite, but he had a really bad run in Denver where a lot of his issues were not connecting with the players. And the Titans have a really good culture built there, so that's one element that they will have to be careful with. A lot of people have believed that McDaniels has fixed that and has gotten better and learned his lessons. But, you know, hiring an offensive mind may be great and it may fix your offense, but you have a whole team to worry about as far as a head coach. So I think all of those things will be considered and need to be considered as the Titans try to find their new head coach.
Cameron Wolf is with us, ESPN staff writer, covers the Titans for ESPN.com. Cameron, you're in there every day, much more so than we are. And so I'm curious, your angle or your speculation on how the dynamic worked with Amy Adams Strunk, John Robinson, and Mike Mularkey while this was festering for a while there. You had the two statements last week and this week. Today with Amy Adams Strunk saying, hey, we worked on a new deal for Mike Mularkey. Couldn't come to terms. You know, she chose her words carefully within the statement. And, of course, last week's vote of confidence, and he's our coach moving forward here. How do you think it worked behind the scenes where John Robinson, I guess, gained the authority to be able to say this is the way we need to go to Amy Adams Strunk, where she was on board? Because she seemed to be a big fan of Mike Mularkey.
Yeah, no, she was. She was a big fan of Mike Malarkey, and she was the reason why he got the head coach. She hired him. John Robinson didn't hire him, and she thought that he could be the guy to lead forward. And I think over the last couple of years, she gained a lot of trust in John Robinson. He was elevated to executive vice president last season, and I think that she really respected his football mind, and he probably had more of a input on this decision making over this last year. And I think that statement was them winning a playoff game and wanting to galvanize the fan base and the team. But yeah, like you mentioned, it was carefully written, and I think there's little question going forward who the power player is in Tennessee, and it's John Robinson. You know, it's his team. Whoever comes in will be his head coach, and will report to him, and there won't be any fracture between what the head coach wants and the general manager wants. And I think that's something that is significant. And, you know, whether the Titans go forward as far as making that next step or going backwards, that will fall on general manager John Robinson's shoulders. So this is his move. This is his step forward. And the success or failure of his team will be because of, you know, what John Robinson decides.
Cameron, did you sense that they were, as the quote goes, "We discussed extending his future with our team over the past week," which would lead you to believe it was happening while they were preparing to play the biggest game in the franchise's last 10 years. You know, they're playing the Patriots here. So were they actually doing that, or do you think that's not a fair characterization of what when that went down? When did they discuss a possible contract extension?
Yeah, from what I heard, I was told by a league source that it was starting last week after that Kansas City win that they had initial talks about extending Mike Malarkey. So there were talks leading up to the Patriots week. I'm not exactly sure how far those talks go. I know I saw a report that he was offered the job. I offered an extension. I didn't necessarily hear that. I just heard initial talks. But I know that this is a situation where, like I mentioned, there are different views on how to get the next step. And I think Mike Malarkey really hurt himself, at least with the fan base and probably with the front office as well, with how he conducted his season-ending press conference. He talked a lot about continuity. He said he didn't plan to make any coaching changes with his assistants. And he basically said the offensive struggles were because of inconsistencies and mistakes. And that's just not an acceptable answer. There was clearly, you know, scheme issues. There was clearly need to make staff changes on multiple levels. And I think his stubbornness or his inability to see that there needed to be change really cost him in the end.
So, Cameron, what was the vibe like at the press conference? Because as you just mentioned, with this sort of unresolved, it appeared to be unresolved going into the press conference yesterday. One, I was curious as to why they went ahead and did it, if it was truly unresolved, or do you think the tone really changed after the way he conducted the press conference?
I think it definitely had a role in it because it felt defiant to me, just kind of as my perspective. You know, it felt like it was, you know, we're doing this my way, and it felt in a sense that he was defending what he's done. He began the press conference talking about bringing this team from the sort of the bottom of the NFL to where they are now and won a playoff game for the first time in 14 years. And all of that is true. But it seemed like he was more focused on the progress they've made rather than the progress they still need to make. And I think that's where the divide came about, is that there was a heavy risk, in my opinion, of this team reaching its plateau, and that we may have saw the best of the Titans. And, you know, it may go all downhill from here. And I think that was the big worry from the Titans front office. And Mike did nothing to alleviate those concerns by, you know, preaching a message of continuity and status quo. And, you know, that's an area where, like you mentioned, you can't have that disconnect from how to become that next level between your head coach and your front office.
That was very bizarre to me. And I'm guessing the way you're explaining it, Cameron, when you guys all walked out of there last night, there had to be a lot of you going, "Wow, what was that?" That had to be very surprising. And then to have it turn around like this morning so quickly, you wonder what happened from the end of that press conference to where we sit now.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, in lack of a better phrase, it felt like he was digging himself, you know, a deeper, you know, digging his heels in or digging a deeper grave for himself, because it was a situation where he could have easily said, hey, you know, there are some changes that need to be made, whether it's staff, whether it's personnel, whether it's, you know, looking internally and deciding what we need to do better as coaches. We'll look at that all this offseason, and we'll come back a better team. If he makes that type of statement to us, if he makes that type of statement to the front office and agrees to, you know, make some adjustments, I think we may be looking at a different situation here. I don't know that for certain, but I think that we are, because, you know, this team looked like they were happy with the culture that Mike Mularkey built here. It was just a need to adjust to what they were doing offensively, and he appeared unwilling to do that.
All right, Cameron, a couple quick hitters to wrap this up. There was a report out also, along with all the Mike Mularkey stuff, that DeMarco Murray, that the Titans were going to move on from him. Do you believe that was it for DeMarco Murray, and they're going to turn things over to Derrick Henry moving forward?
It hasn't been finalized yet, but I do think that there's a decent chance, is how I would put it, that DeMarco Murray's played his last game in a Tennessee Titans uniform. He talked to us yesterday, and after he's cleaning out his locker, and he said he still believes he can be a top-end feature back. He said that he would be willing to come back in a 1-2 punch with Derrick Henry, but he doesn't, you know, it's going to be up to the decision makers to decide that, that and whether he would take a pay cut. So I know Mike Mularkey was a big fan of DeMarco. So once you get in a new staff, you'll have to decide what does fits with that offense. And it may not be DeMarco. It may not even be Derrick Henry.
Okay, three veteran wide receivers on this team. How many are back? Rashard Matthews, Harry Douglas, Eric Decker. Who's back?
I don't think Eric Decker's back. I don't think Harry Douglas is back. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rashard Matthews isn't back. I think Rashard has the best chance of the three. But I think that we see a completely different vibe as far as receivers. We see more speed, more playmaking ability. I'd say either zero or one. And I'd probably lean a little bit more towards zero.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. See you.
Read his stuff on ESPN.com. Cameron Wolf, at Cameron Wolf.
He's going to be busy.
On Twitter. We'll come back and discuss some of that and also take your phone call. 737-1025. More of 3D next.